strong in his strength who bore the cross for thee. Strong in his strength who won the victory. Nor doubt nor fear shall then disturb thy breast, but thou shalt rise to everlasting rest. Oh, hello. I am Mariah James, and it seems I was quite distracted by some lines of mine. They are engraved on my stone. I wrote them in 1834, and encountering them now has rekindled in me a certain poetic fire. Perhaps this fire will give me the strength I need to tell my story, to translate bursts of memory into story. Oh, but I must be honest with you. This business of recounting my history has always been a challenge for me, especially since I burned my early writings. I suppose I will begin with my first great transition in life, my emigration from Wales to America. I vividly recall myself, but a child of 7, on shipboard, among men, among women, among children, none of whom I knew. The language on the ship was also unrecognizable. Nonetheless, I did learn some English while at sea. Phrases such as, get out of the way and take care, for these were bellowed at us countless times. My family and I eventually landed in Dutchess County. My father found work at the slate quarries in Clinton, and when I was 10, I found work as a domestic servant for the family of Reverend Freeborn Garretson. It was at that time, I believe, that I began to write. I wrote lines here, lines there, often hastily, almost carelessly, for I hadn't the time to pore over the page. I hadn't the privilege of an ivory tower. But then again, I did not fancy that. Even after becoming a published poet in 1839. When I was 40 years old, Professor Alonzo Potter of Union College compiled my poems into a collection called Wales and Other Poems, which consisted of multiple volumes. Readers of my poems recommended that I expose myself to Shakespeare and other greats so that I may find inspiration and become a true woman of letters. But I never found inspiration in books, besides the Bible. I am not as much a reader as I am a keen observer and student of my surroundings. Oh, but this confused people. It was confounding enough that I, a domestic servant and woman, became a published poet. In my time, these identities were irreconcilable. The idea of a poetess was preposterous then. A woman who wrote was seen as unwomanly, and a woman who was a servant as well. Why, that contradicted the very idea of what a poet was expected to be. Given this climate, publishing my poems was a risk. Lucky for me, I had support from my dear friend and mistress, Mary Rutherford Garretson, and Professor Potter, of course. This was an unusual amount of support for a woman, especially one of my station. Mary and her father always showed an interest in the development of my mind. I really have been fortunate, for the Reverend treated me like one of his own and gave me the same education as his daughter. This brings to mind an early memory of mine, one of my first attempts at verse. I recall being summoned by the Reverend one evening, being questioned about my talent, and then asked to repeat something I had composed. It was with much hesitation that I dictated my lines to him. I will recite a few now as best I can. He bled in scenes well known before. He died upon a hostile shore. The thirsty earth did drink his blood. His spirit went unto his God. You see, as a girl, I was a bit weary of the page, as I mentioned earlier, and I burned my early writings. I mean, it was all there. All was written. I just wanted the power of utterance then. As if my words, my lines, were not only giving voice to my musings, but to God's will as well. I always strive to carry out his will, but have never been quite satisfied with the results. And even now, in death, closer to him, I am still not close enough. Perhaps I will never be. I sense that it is time for me to bring my story to a close. It is strange. Recounting my history to you has made me feel alive. Perhaps that is why we spirits are here tonight, to tell our stories, and to rekindle in our breasts the fire of life itself once again. Thank you.